commemoration of the events of 1704 is held each year in Old Deerfield, Massachusetts. Actors, craftspeople, musicians, and storytellers bring a day in 1704 to life.
I'm Emily in real life, and in 1704, I'm Elizabeth Course. I'm here working on a loom.
Local children like Emily Batinsky helped to create a sense of what life might have been like for a child at the time of the raid.
I was one of the captives. I was taken to Canada. My father and one of my brothers came to bring me back, but I did not go back. I married twice. I was 7 years old at the time that I was captured.
Elizabeth Course did indeed marry twice to Frenchmen. Her mother was killed while on the march. In total, 90 of the 112 captives survived the trek to Canada. Many went directly into French hands, where they were used as servants, ransomed back to the English in exchange for one of their native captives, or bartered for money. Most eventually returned to Deerfield, but many also stayed. Historian Kevin Sweeney says that Canada, still a vast and unforgiving wilderness, was hungry for potential new residents.
New England captives, particularly the adolescent and somewhat older ones, were considered quite desirable because many of them would come with skills. So some of these New England captives were seen as potentially quite important additions, not just to the population, but in the sense of the economy of New France at the time.
And many of the New England captives would be incorporated permanently into French or native communities. The prize catch, Reverend John Williams, was held for a relatively short 2 years by the French in Canada before friends and Massachusetts officials secured his release. Historian John Demos is author of The Unredeemed Captive.
He was really, in some ways, treated, you might almost say, royally. He was, for a while, in the company of the governor of New France, who took a great interest in him. I mean, it was immediately recognized that he was a very important character.
Williams, like the others, was subjected to strenuous attempts to convert him to Catholicism, which, says Demos, the Protestant captives considered their second greatest challenge after survival.
It may well be the case that from the standpoint of people like the Williams family, it was even worse to be turned into a Catholic than to be turned into an Indian savage. Or at least they were part of the same terrible package.
The French were eager to tally up Catholic initiates, and to Williams' great horror, they eventually succeeded with one of his children. 7-year-old Eunice Williams, carried by sled or on the back of her native captor all the way to Canada, had likely been earmarked to replace a Mohawk child from Ganawage who had died of smallpox. Historian and Abenaki Indian Marge Bruchak.
As a young girl, she was an ideal captive because young girls were more likely than anyone else to really take to native life. And they didn't have to be brainwashed into it. They were given so much freedom and autonomy that they would never have seen in a white community that it was a pretty easy choice.
Eunice stayed in the native community of Ganawage. She was eventually baptized Catholic and later married a native man. In the Catholic Church in Ganawage today, the intersection of Mohawk and Jesuit Catholic traditions are still evident. The choir sings many hymns in the Mohawk language. Father Louis Sear of the St. Francis Xavier Mission in Ganawage.
The unredeemed captive, or the redeemed captive, depending on how you look at it, right? Well, you have to know something, and I mean, how terribly condemnatory Protestants and Catholics were of each other. I mean, the papists were the most hated, devilish invention on earth.
For years, Eunice's father, with the help of Massachusetts Bay Colony officials, attempted to bring her back to Deerfield, but she would have none of it.
So she was right square in the middle of that conflict. But when she had been integrated into the Mohawk language and customs, and she had accepted that, in a sense, she became estranged to her own customs.
What I do believe, and what's undeniably clear, is that she was well-loved, and she was well-respected.
Marge Bruchak.
Even her name, Ganenstanawe, meaning she brings in the corn, is a very honorable name.
Thanks in part to her father's memoir, The Redeemed Captive, Eunice Williams is one of the best known of all the New England captives. But Alice Nash, assistant professor of Native American history at the University of Massachusetts, says Eunice was not the most important.
The difference with Deerfield is that John Williams is from a high-profile family. Deerfield wasn't by any means the first raid, but it certainly was different in the amount of sustained effort that the government made to negotiate captives. And then because Williams comes back and hears his little daughter, there were lots of other little daughters in captivity, but not all of them had fathers who could afford to come after them, who had the political connections to keep having letters be written to the governor back in New France. It had a lot to do with class, right, and status.
Ganawage today, at a Mohawk social, the women's shuffle dance is much the same as it would have been in 1704. While watching young women and old dance together with spirit and style, Marge Bruchac was reminded of Eunice Williams.
Watching a small girl following in an older woman's footsteps, I could see young Eunice Williams, 7 years old, dropped in the middle of this Mohawk community. Imagine it, all these Native women are dancing, and without the language or understanding, she's just pulled right into that dance. That sense of a community of women, that English girl folded in with all those Native women.
Whether ransomed, adopted, or returned, bonds of kinship and experience were built between the communities of New France and New England. Relationships were forged that would resonate for centuries to come. For WFCR, I'm Susanna Lee.